Welcome to this recital of morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer for the fifth Sunday after Easter. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moved us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we've done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers, to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last, we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. And now, the first seven verses of the Venite. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And I'm going to have a slightly different reading from that which is suggested for today. It's a reading that spoke to me as we think about the coronavirus, and it is from the Epistle of St. James, beginning at the first chapter. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Here endeth the lesson. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 30. It refers to recovery from grave illness, and it was a song at the dedication of the temple, authored by David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favour, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain and hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, beginning at the 19th verse. It refers to the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, he was covered with sores. He longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angel to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all of this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from here to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Here endeth the second lesson. We say together the Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We may join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, may clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. The Collect for the 5th Sunday after Easter. O Lord, from whom all good things do come, grant to us, thy humble servants, that by thy holy inspiration we may think those things that be good, and by thy merciful guiding, may perform the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now a brief reflection on that reading from St. James's epistle. That letter from James is rich with wisdom and insight into what distracts people and causes them to lose their way in life. It is written, I think, by someone who had studied human nature, someone who may not know what makes people tick so well because he has made some of the same errors himself. It may seem that we live in quite a different world from the one which James's congregation knew. Just have to look at social media or popular TV, and it seems that for many folk, ours is a me culture with a deplorable because I'm worth it attitude. We're encouraged to seek self-fulfillment above everything else, and there's always someone whom we can blame or even sue if we don't get it. Even during the trying circumstances of this pandemic, some of our politicians seem more intent on politicizing the situation rather than helping. In so many ways, as a people, we're becoming insular and solipsistic. Now, some folk, even those of faith, look upon religion as something to do with personal salvation. But James was writing to a congregation with a very different outlook. He followed very much in the Jewish tradition, in which community has priority over the individual, while the community has an absolute responsibility to the individual. And the scriptures confirm that this is how it should be. The prophets talk about Israel and Zion, and not so much about the salvation of persons as of the salvation of the people. Actually, I felt some reassurance during this pandemic that many people are again seeing our relationships in that way, recognizing that we're more closely connected with each other than our culture sometimes allows us. I'm convinced that God has made us that way, and that we're all social animals in a very real sense, completely interdependent to everyone's benefit when we live as Jesus taught. So when we listen to the scripture, I'd like us to listen in the context of the kind of relationships I've described. Listen to it as scripture addressed to us as members of the Christian community. Listen to it using the wisdom and experience accumulated over the years by the church, so that we interpret it with discernment. Listen to it as people who are truly connected, as people who feel the pain of others and act to help them, as people who want to share our joy and to celebrate the joy of others too, and as people who really value friendship and who help others to find it with us. Of course, that means that just as James writes, we have to listen probably more than we speak. The psalm says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words." It was a Stoic philosopher, Zeno, who said that we've two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we speak. James writes also that we need to control our anger. We can't be faithful to God's purposes when our relationships with others are blighted by disdain or anger. If only some in our political classes would take note of that. God loves those people we're angry with just as he loves us, and he's made us to be supportive of each other. In an obvious practical example of how we should treat other people, James tells us that we must look after the widow and the orphans, and that goes for all who are needy and vulnerable and all who are otherwise excluded because of their social capacity. Now, some claim that it's perfectly possible to love others as we ought without God, but I suggest that we regard very cautiously those expressions of vaunting love for humanity as a whole or for the environment that are so prevalent in the media or among our politicians or celebrities these days, unless they are accompanied by practical expressions of love and concern for the individuals met on a daily basis, including those with whom we disagree. If we ourselves are unable to express our love for God in our relationships with the people we encounter in our lives, then we need to change. God's love for humanity has not been expressed in impersonal or general terms, but for each of us as dearly beloved individuals, able to draw on spiritual resources and to use our gifts for his people. Jesus' ministry wasn't expressed in overblown declarations of intent or in grand political schemes, but by compassionate acts towards the folk he encountered in his troubles and travels, and ultimately in the costly act of his death upon the cross. But above all, Jesus demonstrated a relationship with God that we must all learn to emulate, a loving, trusting relationship full of transforming power. You know, because of Jesus' life among us, God knows from first hand that human life can be a challenge. Few could claim to be as gracious or as merciful or loving or as compassionate as Jesus. So what do we have to do? What sacrifices do we have to make? How many good works must we perform in order to become worthy to be God's adopted children? Well, none, of course. There is no need to earn God's love or to bribe him. What God requires from us is that we respond to his freely given love by loving as he does. And we have Jesus as our example of how to live that way. Of course, we do also need to mature spiritually, just as Jesus did. And as we do that, as we overcome the values of a fallen world, we will be increasingly ill at ease with the values of that world. We may be perceived as different from the rest of society around us, just as the early Christians in James's congregation were. And we're going to need the courage to bear the costs of these discomforts. But with God's grace, we'll be helped through them. James and others of our Christian forebears knew all these things, but God's law of love gives us freedom, and we will truly be blessed if we keep that law. And now we pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth, most heartily we beseech thee with thy favour to behold our most gracious Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that she may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts, grant her in health and wealth long to live, strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies, and finally, after this life, she may attain everlasting joy and felicity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, a prayer which I came across on the internet about the COVID-19 disaster. Jesus Christ, you travel through towns and villages, curing every disease and illness. At your command, the sick were made well. Come to our aid now, in the midst of the global spread of the coronavirus, that we may experience your healing love. Heal those who are sick with the virus. May they regain their strength and health through quality medical care. Help us and heal us from our prayer, which prevents the nations from working together and neighbours from helping one another. Heal us from our pride, which can make us claim invulnerability to a disease that knows no borders. Jesus Christ, healer of all, stay by our side in this time of uncertainty and sorrow. Be with those who've died from the virus. May they be at rest with you in your eternal peace. Be with the families of those who are sick or have died. As they worry and grieve, defend them from illness and despair. May they know your peace. Be with doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals who seek to heal and help those who are affected and who put themselves at risk in the process. May they know your protection and peace. Be with the leaders of all nations. Give them the foresight to act with charity and true concern for the well-being of the people they're called to serve. Give them the wisdom to invest in long-term solutions that will help prepare or prevent future outbreaks. May they know your peace as they work together to achieve it on earth. And whether we are at home or abroad, surrounded by many people suffering from this illness, or only a few, Jesus Christ, stay with us as we endure and mourn, persist and prepare. In place of our anxiety, give us peace. Your peace. Jesus Christ, heal us. And now, Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world a knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And now we bless one another with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.